those things come back to you. We are in this series seeking God. First of all, let me thank you for letting me take the weekend away and be with my wife last week. And man, we had a great time. We go camping, try to once a month, once every 5-6 weeks. And I sure was thankful for that camper that weekend when I heard that rain hitting the top of it. No more tents for me. Amen. But we've been talking about seeking God, and like Jeff said, we've been praying, and we knew there was a stirring around here for a long time with the men and women of North Point, and now it's happening. It's happening. There's a lot of things going on, and we won't be we probably won't be doing things the old way in a lot of different ways, and we're going to be somewhat abnormal, because to quote that, normal hasn't served the church well, and so we're going to be abnormal. And after talking with several folks the last couple of weeks, you know, I found folks to be honest with you, just to be broken. You know, they seem like they tell me they don't feel like they're going anywhere. That they don't know what to do, whether it's about their family, their job, or their friend or girlfriend or boyfriend. And one of the words that I, you know, heard was, Jim, I just really need a breakthrough. I just need a breakthrough at this moment. And that phrase breakthrough really caught my attention. And so I'm going to teach on it the next couple of weeks. And what is a breakthrough? Me and David Holcomb had this conversation real quick. He said, well, exactly what are you talking about, Jim, is a breakthrough? And he said, when you say breakthrough, do you mean a significant change? I said, that's exactly what I mean, David. And then I looked at Webster's, the dictionary says this too. So we're going to be praying and looking for significant change. And it also says a sudden, dramatic, important advance. I like that. Significant change, a sudden, dramatic, important advance. Guys, you and me, we can have a breakthrough in our marriage. We can have a breakthrough in any relationship. You know, we can have a breakthrough in our career. Some of you guys are needing that breakthrough. Now, the opposite of a breakthrough is a setback. And so if you haven't moved forward, you're either stalled or there's no progress, or you go backwards. That's a setback. And guys, you and me, we need to move forward. In order to do that, we need a breakthrough. You and I, we need a breakthrough. Maybe it's a spiritual breakthrough. Maybe it's a moment of clarity that you and I need. But here's what you may not know. Now, I'm 55, and finally what I figured out a lot of ways is that God often uses pain to get our attention. Pain's like this megaphone. And he made us for so much more than just living for ourselves. So he often uses pain to get our attention. And he often uses pain to prepare us for a breakthrough. So I want to tell you, if you're in pain now, congratulations, because I believe you're going to get a breakthrough. I believe you're going to get a breakthrough. Proverbs 20:30 says that sometimes it takes pain to make us change our way. Sometimes we have to go through pain to change our ways. And so you may be ready for a breakthrough right now because you're going through a period of confusion. Anybody ever go through a period of confusion? You just might be ready for a breakthrough. You know what I'm talking about. You ain't got the foggiest idea or a clue of where you're going or even where you're at. You ready for a breakthrough? You know, maybe you're feeling overwhelmed. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed? I do sometimes. Yeah, you know, you got so much to do, and you ain't got time to do it. You need a breakthrough. Or maybe you feel outnumbered. Anybody ever feel outnumbered? You feel like the minority, like everybody's coming against you. You need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. Or you're thinking, I don't have the money to do what I need to get done. Well, you need a financial breakthrough. All kinds of breakthroughs. But here's what I want you to do. While we're talking about this, and I want you to decide today, before you leave, here it is. Where do I need a breakthrough? Where do you need a breakthrough? It's already come to your head, I know. What I want you to do is write it down. I want you to write it down. Whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend, how to get rid of a boyfriend, you know, or whatever. Where do you need a breakthrough? Where are you at an impasse? Where are you stalling? Where are you kind of dead in the water? If it's your kids or some idea that you're having at work, where do you need this breakthrough? I want you to identify that, because this is what we're going to be talking about for the next at least two Sundays. Seeking God and seeking a breakthrough. Because I'm going to tell you something about breakthroughs. They generally happen when you seek them. Breakthroughs generally don't happen just spontaneously. We need to be seeking them. So if you're stuck, if you're stuck where you're at, there's some certain things that you need to do for a breakthrough if you're going to see a breakthrough. So I really want us to get this. You, me, North Point Church. And so I want to do something a little out of normal for us. To kick off at least these next few weeks of seeking God, And we're seeking God to get a breakthrough. So here's what we're going to do abnormal. This Sunday and next Sunday at 6 p.m. I want us as a church to gather here for a solemn assembly. To kick off Monday, and I'll get to Monday here. The elders are going to lead us in prayer and communion. And I thought while we were doing something different, I would go ahead and change up communion just a little bit, since I've already got you doing something different. Instead of the wafers and that, we're going to do, I think it's called intincha, where the elders will have cups with the juice, and we're going to have some bread. We're not drinking all out of the one cup. I know that just some of you guys just flip on that. But we are going to dip out of the same cup. We're going to do that. Yeah, not some of you. I would. I don't want to drink after y'all. I'll just tell you that. I'm the one. I don't want to drink after you. I only drink after my wife, much less you guys. But we're going to dip. It's called tincha. Is it tincha? In tincha. So we're going to do it that way. We do that in North Carolina. But I don't know how long it'll last. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know we're going to meet here in a solemn assembly, and we're going to pray. Now that's to kick off this. We're praying for a breakthrough. We're also fasting. I'm asking for a church-wide fast. And Joel is proclaiming a church-wide fast. And for those of you guys that need a breakthrough, I would ask that you come tonight to kick off, and I just want you to fast Monday. I want you to fast Monday, and I want you to pray, and I want us to seek God. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But when I'm talking about fasting, I tell you what I won't watch HBO. I'm talking about food. The Bible is food. It's not going without. It's not putting unleaded in my car instead of super unleaded. It's food. Whether it's one meal, two meals, or all day, I want us to fast. And because it's there where we're going to find God. It's there where we're going to have a breakthrough according to the scripture. So if you can, come tonight, 6 p.m., going to have communion. And by the way, just to throw this in there, Liz is having communion every Wednesday night here. No, I'm sorry, the last Wednesday night of every month here at 6:30. If you guys would be once a month here, but we're going to have it the next two Sunday nights right here. And so I want you to know that it's going to be powerful. It's going to be powerful. So I want us to look at that, and then the next two Mondays, like days of fasting. Like I said, you go without food for that day. Because I'm going to tell you why we fast without food. Because this is a sign to God saying we're serious about this. We real serious about this, God. That we're going to go without this and look to you and pray for you. And I don't want you to miss this, guys, for a breakthrough. So I'm going to repeat it again. Tonight, 6 o'clock, the elders will lead us in a solemn assembly. Amen? 6 o'clock. Don't be like North Point and be here at 6:15, 6:30. This is a solemn assembly. We're going to start at 6 o'clock. I don't want you to miss this breakthrough that God has planned for you. All right. Like I say, today and next Sunday is going to be praying. And the title of this message is Praying and Fasting for a Breakthrough. Here's what else I want to tell you. If you're here today, or you're just listening to this on Stitcher or whatever, it's not an accident that you're here. I don't believe it's an accident. I looked up and I saw Lee and Conga Boy playing. I don't believe it's an accident that they're here. I don't believe it's an accident that anybody is here. Because here's what I've been doing for 2 weeks. I've been asking God, I know it's spring break. So I didn't ask for the numbers. I asked God for the right. And to be honest with you, I don't care about the numbers because I ain't paid and I don't need your money. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. But I asked God for the right people to be here. I've been praying for you, every one of you. That's why you're here. You're not here by accident. Your car broke down at the end of the road, whatever. If it was, it's on purpose. But I ask God for the right people to be here and know about this, because God, every one of you here, I believe God wants to do a breakthrough in your life. I believe everyone here, God wants to. He done one in mine yesterday. And I hope to tell you about that soon. But he wants to do a breakthrough in your life. And he wants to do something special for you. In the Bible, you know, anyone that needed a breakthrough, they would always seek God with prayer and fasting. And so that's what we will do. I want to give you a couple of examples. David fasted a lot. When the Philistines, at the top of your outline, when the Philistines, that were the enemy, learned that David had been made king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces against him to attack and to enslave him. But David heard the news and moved to his fortified place. Then the Philistine army moved in and spread out across the entire valley. So David sought the Lord in prayer. He asked, "Should I go fight these Philistines?" He's asking the Lord this. "Will you give them over to me?" The Lord replied, "Yeah, go ahead. You can certainly count on me to give you the victory." So David went out and defeated them. Then David said, "I watched the Lord," and that should be break, not bread, "my enemies. Break through my enemies like a mighty flood." So he named the place, "The Lord Broke Through." You ever felt like the forces were mobilized against you? You know, I think it's so common that here David was an anointed king, and it was a happy time. It was a good time. He's on top of a mountain, and you know, he was celebrating, and all of a sudden, enemies started mobilizing against him. That's kind of, you ever notice we go through good times? Bad times ain't far away normally, but they were. He was come under attack. But here's the thing: what David had. David had a fortified place where he could go to when he came under attack. What I want to ask you today is: do you have a fortified place? You do have a fortified place. It's the church. You know, I hope you do. And I hope you have a small group that you can go to, a fortified place, a group of people that you can talk to. You need a fortified place. Then if you notice, it says the enemy's encircling him. And what did David do? He sought the Lord in prayer. And we're going to do that. That's what's going to happen tonight. And tonight, as we have a solemn assembly, and that we pray. That's all we're going to do is pray. I want to let you guys know, if you're coming here thinking you're going to preach tonight, that ain't happening. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. It's a time for prayer, not preaching tonight. Amen? I ain't going to preach. and neither are you. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. So and he sought the Lord in prayer, but the church is going to pray for each other. Here's what else I learned from David. I don't know if it really got into anything to do with the lesson, is this. Never fight a battle without asking God first. You never fight a battle, whether it's a legal battle, whether it's a financial battle, or a relational battle at work. Guys, if you don't ask God, then you're just on your own. If you don't ask him first, you're on your own. You know, we should even ask, should I even make an issue out of this? Sometimes we make issues when they shouldn't be made. Sometimes we fight a battle that we just shouldn't have simply got into. But so, I love what he said. I watched the Lord break through my enemies. And that's what I want to happen in your life. Whatever battle you're in, I want to see the Lord break through. And this spring, you know, I already named one place. I love David said, I named a place the Lord broke through. I want this to happen in your life, and I want this to for you to have this breakthrough that you can name this place. The Lord broke through. I named one yesterday. It happened in my life. I had a breakthrough in my life and my family. I came away from North Carolina, and I named it the Lord broke through right here. That's what I'm going to call it. That ain't the name of that church. That's the Lord broke through. The Lord broke through. It might be you're at work. You don't even call Shaw no more. You say, the Lord broke through. I work at the Lord broke through. But I want you to be able, after this prayer, I want you to be able to name a place like David did that the Lord broke through. Amen? The Lord broke through. But if we're going to have this breakthrough, we've got to do the things that David did. Let me give you another example from another king, King Jehoshaphat. After this, three enemies joined forth. Now, there again, it was a great time. It was a big time of celebration. And after the celebration, it says this, after this, three enemies joined forces against Judah. Messengers told the king, a vast army is coming against you, alarmed and afraid. That's scared in Rockmar. King Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for everyone. So all of the people came together to seek help from the Lord. They came from everywhere to seek God. After a spiritual victory, you can count on it, because behind every mountaintop there's a valley. We're going to find ourselves outmanned, outnumbered. We're going to be alarmed and afraid, or scared. But what I like about Jehoshaphat, he didn't stay scared, did he? He switched from being focused on his worries to being focused on the Lord. That tells me it's a choice for me and you. What we focus on, it's a choice. So I'm going to try to teach you how to break this habit of worrying in your life. And it says Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast. So that's what I'm doing as your pastor today. I'm proclaiming a fast, and what we're saying is, God, we're serious about this. You got our attention. You got our attention. We're serious, and we need a breakthrough. Do you guys need a breakthrough? Yeah. I think everyone here, because I've prayed for you, I believe you need a breakthrough. And what you're saying is, when you fast on Monday, and some of you can't all the way, you got diabetes, or Miss Jackie's pregnant, you know, or whatever, you know, you can't fast all the way. So I know you got to eat something. But do you need a breakthrough? You got our attention. But this guy Jehoshaphat did four things right. And if you and I got to do them, if we want a breakthrough in any area in our life. First of all, he refocused on God instead of worrying. He made a choice. And then he resolved to seek God. He fasted. It was a natural fast. And then all the people joined together to pray. And that's what we want to do tonight to kick it off. We just want to join together and pray. And the result was a victory. It was a miraculous victory. If you go on to read this, I'm talking about a miraculous victory. The guys didn't even have to fight. They ran. The opposition ran. It took them 3 days to pick up the spoils.
Because the guys got scared and ran. They left everything they owned at the battlefield. I mean, it took them 3 days to get the loot. That's what they done. That was it belonged to them because they won. But maybe you got some battles in your life. But the key is to do what these guys did. How do I do that? Paul tells us how to do that in Philippians 4, 6 through 8. I'm going to read that real quick. If you got your Bibles, turn there. Philippians is in the New Testament. Here's how I remember to get there. Guys eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Guys eat popcorn. So Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's how we do it. But the very first thing he says is don't worry. Don't worry. Pray. And then you get peace. Well, what am I talking about, peace? Well, peace, the kind of peace that we're talking about that no one can understand is when everything's going wrong in your life and the health is falling, you just lost your business, you just lost your spouse, but you still got this peace. There's no logical reason that you should be at peace, and you still are. That's the peace that I'm talking about. Guys, this passage here, if we develop these four habits, it will change your life and you will get a breakthrough. I don't know what kind of breakthrough you need, but it really don't matter to me. If you just do these four things, you're going to get one. Now, we're only going to talk about two of them today. So this week, you only may get half a breakthrough, but just two of them. Two of them. And they're simple habits, but they're not easy. First habit you got to do is develop is this. Number one, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. You got to break that habit of worrying. Philippians 4, 6, 8 says, don't worry about anything. I like the way it says in the Amplified Version. Don't fret or fear or have any anxiety. That may be the single most difficult command for you and me to keep, is to not worry. Every one of us have broken that commandment. It's our nature to worry. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right on this. I can tell my wife I'm always right. Jesus even tells us in Matthew chapter 6 not to worry about tomorrow. Says tomorrow would worry about itself. Today got enough going on that we should worry about tomorrow. I used to tell my kids when they was growing up, and I'm sure they get tired of hearing it now because I still say it now. They would worry about what was going to happen toward the end of the week. And I said, you do know tomorrow ain't happened yet, right? Tomorrow ain't got here yet. Next week ain't got here yet. And you're screwing up today worrying about tomorrow. I'm telling you guys, worry is worthless. Worry ain't never changed anything. Worry is just simply a form of control. Worry has no effect. No effect. I had an old aunt one time. You say worry ain't nothing but stewing without doing. That's all it is. It's just stewing without doing. Worry can't change the past, and it certainly cannot change the future. Worry just messes up today. Tomorrow ain't even got here yet. Every moment that you and I worry is wasted. Put this here in your pipe and smoke it. If you prayed as much as you worried, you wouldn't have a lot to worry about at all. You just wouldn't have a lot to worry about at all. Well, what is worry? Let me give you a definition. Write this down right here. Worry is focusing on my fears instead of God. Worry is focusing on my fears instead of God. I've told y'all this 100,000 times. Worry is practical atheism. It's practical atheism. Guys, won't you act like Worry is just acting like you ain't got a Heavenly Father who's promised to take care of your needs. He has promised to take care of our needs. The Bible doesn't say that if it's to be, it's up to me. The Bible says if it's to be, it's up to God. It ain't up to you. And fasting and prayer, this is why I believe we ought to do it. Fasting and prayer helps us focus on God instead of our fears. Romans 8:6, you guys know it's my favorite chapter in the Bible. Thinking that is controlled by my sinful nature leads to death. But thinking controlled by the Spirit leads to life and peace. It changes your focus. This is the key. Don't focus on what you don't want. I finally quit smoking in 1988. But for years I tried to quit smoking. And you know what my focus was on? Smoking. I quit 100 times and started back 101. Because every time I wanted to quit smoking, I'd focus on not smoking. I don't want that cigarette. 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 All that was on my mind was a cigarette. And I couldn't drop it. When I started refocusing my mind and stopped thinking about cigarettes, started putting my mind on something else, like birthday cake, I was all right. I gained 40 pounds, but I quit smoking. Changed my focus to cookies. Just change the channel. Change the channel. How do I switch my focus? Fill in your little blank there, put prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. That's how you switch your focus. When you're focused on God, you ain't got no time to worry. When you focus on Him, worry won't even get. Y'all remember Daniel? I hope you remember Daniel. We spent 6 months in him. Daniel 9:3 says, I turned to the Lord. He refocused. I turned to the Lord and pleaded with Him in prayer and what? It's important, guys. Prayer and fasting. Daniel didn't stay worried long. He was worried now because everything was going on, but he didn't stay worried long. He turned and he got the focus on God and off his problem. Maybe that's what you need to do today is get your focus off your problem and get it on to God. One of the guys that helped lead the people out of Israel during that time, his name was Ezra. He was in there with Daniel. He wrote in chapter 8, verse 23, we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us. And what? He heard our prayers. We fasted and earnestly prayed. You know, our prayers. Did y'all notice there's a group prayer there? There's power in group praying. There's power in group prayer and fasting. I've already had people come up to me and tell me, you know, and you need to know I'm just going to dismiss this. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. They said, well, Jim, fasting is between you and the Lord. I know that. I know that. I know that. But I know church-wide fasting, I know group fasting is powerful. I'm not saying that you need to go out and say, oh, man, y'all going to have a big cold day. I'm fasting. I'm starving to death. Got a headache. Just leave me alone today. Don't come in my office. Carry that cookie away from me. What I'm saying is put on a good face. Put on a good face. They don't have to know you're fasting. You don't have to act like you're hungry just because you are. Amen. Focus on the Lord. That's what it is. And see, in all this stirring and this happening, it's what's now, it's made me get in the Word. It's made me get into this thing. And it's made me realize that I'm your pastor. And there's certain things that I have failed you at. And one is not taking the authority as a pastor. Guys, Joel 1:14 says I'm supposed to do stuff like this. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. So I'm proclaiming a fast. And we're going to gather tonight. And we're going to pray. And we're going to cry out to the Lord. And our elders are going to lead us. That's what we're going to do. And if you want a breakthrough, if you need a breakthrough in your life, you come tonight.
You come tonight. You fast tomorrow as a church. Don't look pitiful now. Because our focus is going to be on God. Amen? We're seeking Him. We're seeking Him. Second habit is this. Pray about everything. I don't care what you need a breakthrough in. Nothing there's too small or too big to praying about. I'm going to tell you what. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. Philippians 4. Where am I at? Oh, on the back. I forgot to add a back page. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. I love 1 Peter 5, 7 says this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. He cares about what happens to you. Y'all like that as much as I do? Here's your choice on that. Either you can carry your burdens or God can. It's your choice. You want to keep carrying them or you want to give them to God? You know, I love you, God, but I'm going to give you this right here. In closing, I want to tell you something that I learned from Rick Warren that I haven't used in a long time, but I'm going to. Psalm 88:9, every day, Lord, I lift my hands to you in prayer and I call to you. I want to teach you how to pray. I want to teach you how to pray using your hands. And it would be good if you memorize this. And it would be good if you write this down. I want to tell you in this thing that the left hand represents who to pray for. And the right hand represents what to pray for. And you know, when you were a kid, you were taught to pray like this. And so we're looking at our left and right hands. And I left you a spot in your outline to write it down. So looking at the left hand, I want you to look at your thumb. That's this one. If you ain't got one, I know some folks might not have all the digits. It just happens in our working life. They don't have, but just act like you got one. Amen. The thumb is closest to your heart. So we're asking who to pray for. Who's closest to your heart? Your family. And friends. They're closest to your heart. So that's when we start to pray, that's who you pray for. And then your next finger is the index finger. Now that's the one that we point with, isn't it? We kind of give direction. And that's how I want you to remember that. And there I want you to pray for your leaders and your teachers. And I ask you that you would pray for me. Put me in that index finger. And then the next finger is the tallest finger. That middle finger is always the tallest, you know, unless something's up. But it's the tallest. And the tallest should remember the people of influence, leaders, political leaders, celebrities, and people that have influence in our world. And we should pray for them. And then the ring finger on your left hand, did y'all know that's the weakest finger on your hand? That's the weakest finger on your hand. And so that should help you remember to pray for the weak, the children, the sick, the elderly. Pray for them. With that, you remember that finger. Then, remember the left hand is who we should pray for. The last who we haven't mentioned ourselves yet, have we? The little fingers ourselves. That's who we pray for last. So we know who. So now let's move over to the right hand. We move over to the right. Well, what do we pray? Well, remember, it's the closest to the heart. We pray then about our heart. Is my heart right with you, God? You could even pray, is my friend's heart right with you, God? And then remember, the right hand is the direction finger. So what do we pray for? Right in there. Priorities and schedule. Priorities and schedule. God, does my priorities and does my schedule line up with you? Am I putting your kingdom first instead of my kingdom? Am I doing that? So then we move to the tallest finger. That one right there. Remember, that one was the influential people. What do we pray for? God, how's my influence? Am I a good example to the people around me? Lord, I pray that I'm a better example to my family. I pray that I'm a better example at work. I pray that I'm you, Jesus, with skin on today. Then we move to that weakest finger. That weakest finger. But it's also the ring finger. Well, this is not, but it is a ring finger. Remember to pray for your relationships, your wife, your husband, your spouse, kids, parents, your family and friends. Pray for those people. Pray for their well-being. Then the last finger is the pinky again. Remember, the one on the left hand was you. The right one, the last thing that we should pray for is material blessings. Yeah, it's okay. Some people think that we're not supposed to have anything. It's okay to pray for material blessings. It's okay to pray for needs, not greeds, but needs. And that God would supply those needs. Now, I hope you write that down. I hope we pray that way. And I hope and I'm praying for you a breakthrough. I know some of you are just not going to be able to come tonight. Some of you are going to make excuses, and some of you have legitimate excuses. And if you would like for me to pray for you, and you can't come tonight, just slip me a note. I'm about to go baptize Vincent. And you can just slip me a note, leave it up here on my desk, but I'd love to lift you up in prayer. Don't give me a paragraph. Amen. Condense it a little bit. Three words. Your name in three words. But I hope you can make it, and I hope you can fast with us, because it's going to be powerful. There's going to be some breakthroughs happening. Amen. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, because it ain't just stirring no more. The Holy Spirit is happening. It's happening. It's real. And we're not going to be the same anymore. We're not going to be normal. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for folks' hearts who are focusing on you. I thank you for my breakthrough with my son yesterday. Oh, Lord, he spoke for you and about you. He was good. Ask your blessings on where we're going. And I pray for my mentor. And I lift James up to you. My Lord, I pray for the leaders in our country. Our president. I pray for the celebrities that have influence. I pray that they would have a change of heart to you. And I ask you to bless me, Lord. Broaden my influence for you. My Lord, help me keep my heart focused on you. I pray that my time and my schedule keeps you first. But I hope that I'm a good example to others. I lift my wife up to you. She's on the beach and she's relaxing, but I pray that she's able to get close to you. Lord, give me what I need. Bless my church. And I pray for a breakthrough in every one of them's lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.